I know in our home, the object of the game is, let's see if we can put off a trip to the store. Let's not make a quick short trip of it, even if that's still possible. Let's wait until we have a list and then go out then and really try to minimize some of those trips and those connections that we're supposed to avoid.
One of the precautions for reducing the risk of contracting COVID-19 includes social distancing. As a result, people are spending less time in public places, including grocery stores and restaurants. However, we still need groceries, and we still need to eat. A K-State Research and Extension Nutrition Specialist says that planning meals for at least a week will reduce the trip you'll make to the store and the time you spend in the store. On today's Sound Living, menu planning and shopping. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman. K-State Research and Extension Nutrition Specialist Sandy Proctor says that families can use this additional time together to work on planning and preparing meals, which in turn provides a welcome diversion, creates lasting memories, and can also be educational. Sandy, this is one of those difficult times, but also an opportunity to prepare more meals at home, eat as a family, and try new things together. We want to cover some of the things, really kind of the basics that people should think about as they're looking at their food plan. And that's one of the things that you suggest is, first of all, have that plan.
As we experience our new reality, we really are to try to minimize those trips where we can come together, which is right now the grocery store. And so it really makes sense to have a plan and then to be able to at least loosely follow that plan and utilize what we have on hand before we make what used to be maybe just a almost second nature quick trip to the grocery store. Let's be a little bit more intentional and really work to plan those meals, use what we have on hand, and keep our distance until things get better.
When you talk about a plan, what type of things should we be thinking about? Do we need to plan everything or just a majority of our meals?
Well, I think, you know, it depends on what type of cook you are to begin with. I have friends that write menus for their normal lives, day-to-day menus, and that works well for them. For others of us, and especially those of us that now have multiple people in our homes for meals that we don't normally serve, like say, you know, all the kids are home and we're doing lunch and dinner and breakfast as well as the typical meals that we might do at home, it's going to take some, you know, adapting maybe on the fly. So I would recommend thinking about those things sort of in bulk. If you have people home that are eating breakfast that don't normally sit down and eat breakfast, maybe, you know, instead of thinking of it as a grab-and-go breakfast bar, maybe, you know, a box of bulk oatmeal that you make on top of the stove makes more sense. Lots of servings, inexpensive, can be made just the way the family likes it. You can add those ingredients so that the person that likes it with dried fruit can have it that way, or the person that wants it with milk or without milk. You know, start with the basics and have some of those basic ingredients on hand. I was talking to a relative of mine, and, you know, instead of using mixes or things that they might use for quick cooking, that quickness isn't as important now as having enough variety on hand to really make that flexibility a key part of menu planning. So maybe we stock up on flour and sugar, or notice that we probably are well stocked on those anyway, and make things a little bit more from scratch, not necessarily because we have to, but that's going to allow us a little bit more flexibility in those meals that we plan.
And like you say, the kids are going to be around, so this is a great opportunity to really do some of this cooking and meal preparation as a family.
It's true. And, you know, it's one of those things that we think back on and think, you know, if we just had a little bit more time, I would have really liked to, you know, hung out with kids and, you know, taught them to cook or experience some of these things. And weirdly enough, this is one of those times that a lot of us have kind of wished things would just slow down a little bit. And they have definitely slowed down. And while that may be a little hard to adjust to, and you're going to have probably some cabin fever setting in soon if it hasn't already, thinking of some of those family-type activities that are definitely going to be welcome, like cooking or baking or cleaning up together after you've had a food sort of experiment activity, those kinds of things can make real memories, but can also help provide some of the diversion and very much educational opportunities. There's math, there's measuring, there's talking about baking temperature. Why do we use eggs in this? What does brushing egg wash on top of something do for it? Just all kinds of information that is available as part of a lesson, and really some of those things that people benefit from, not necessarily in the near future, but years down the road, you're liable to recall some of those foods that you made or learned how to make or that your mom or your aunt used to make. And these are some of those times where that can be shared.
We all kind of have our favorite meal. This might be an opportunity to go online and look at some other recipes and try some new things as well.
Well, I think that's kind of one of the things that you can do that's fun. There are sites online where you can go in and say what ingredients you do have, and it will give you suggestions for recipes. Let's say you have tuna, and you're looking for something a little bit different. You can go in there and type in some of these sites and put in the word tuna, and it may suggest things that you've not made to this point. And we have the time to think about that. Or ways to adapt familiar recipes to some of the ingredients that you may have on hand. I know in our home, the object of the game is, let's see if we can put off a trip to the store. Let's not make a quick short trip of it, even if that's still possible. Let's wait until we have a list and then go out then and really try to minimize some of those trips and those connections that we're supposed to avoid.
That's a good point. We really do need to take stock of what we have on hand, because we probably have, I'm going to say most people probably have at least a week's worth of food just here and there throughout the house.
I would think so. And that includes looking at the cans, looking at the packages that are in your pantry or your cupboards, and then checking out your freezer too. Some of those things that if they're in there and they're stored right, they may have been in there for 6 months, but oftentimes the quality is not damaged at that point, and it would be really good to use up what's on hand, and if it's not good, let's get rid of it, clean it out. But now's a good time to see what's in there and to figure out ways to incorporate those things that are maybe around the edges that we haven't paid close attention to. And if you are in a situation where the supplies are low, then think about what can you buy that might have some real flexibility that is going to allow you to make multiple different types of foods or meals from maybe some few basic ingredients.
One of the things I was thinking about was, when I go to the grocery store, I should buy like I'm buying for the food pantry, because you always buy nutritious food, you always buy things that are easy to prepare, and that might be a good starting place if somebody's not used to doing this.
And another thing that you do, at least for most pantries, is they're going to be shelf stable. This is something that some of us need to remember, is that it is really okay to buy, and a good idea in times like this, to buy those fruits and vegetables in cans. We may be used to going and picking out fresh produce a couple times a week, but having some canned backups for all the different purposes that we can use them for are really going to help, and they're going to keep the nutrition high. Foods that are in cans or frozen are packed at their peak of nutritional value, so we know that those are good, healthy foods, and they allow us a little bit more time away from that constant return to the store that may be the norm for many of us.
I'm seeing a lot of questions about food dates. I know that that is confusing for a lot of people. Is there any way to make sense of it?
Well, there's good news coming. They hope to clarify those things in the future, because it is confusing, and it's not even sure that it's in some ways not meant to be a little confusing, to sort of make the consumer feel like, I need to throw this out and buy more. But for most of us, that best buy is simply a meaning of quality. It's like, this product is going to be best if used by this date. But that doesn't mean that if it's a few days or weeks older, that in the case of a canned food, it's going to be just fine. Just use good sense, and if you open it and the can looks good on the inside and the food looks good on the inside, and it's, now we're not talking terribly out of date, but just slightly over that best by date, it's probably going to be just fine. As always, if in doubt, throw it out. We're not wanting anyone to take a step that's not safe. But just know that those dates that say, best if used by, are a suggestion of quality and not one of safety.
As you mentioned, the fresh fruit and vegetables, if you purchase those, you are going to want to use those within a certain amount of time.
Yeah, and that's pretty easy to do. But remember, too, that if you have a green pepper or something that looks like it's, you know, needing to be used and you're not going to use it, slice it up and put it in a container and use it from the freezer. It will keep that way. So take action on that produce that you may not use. And this goes along with our topics we've been talking about food waste anyway. But particularly now that we maybe have bought in bulk a little bit more than we normally do, and we're cooking more, and we're coming up with more meals. It's just maybe some kitchen skills that are maybe a little rusty in some of us, this sort of juggling the produce as though we, you know, are further away from stores than we habitually have been. But we can certainly treat our circumstances like that and be really wise consumers.
Food safety is another concern. As you mentioned, we are probably going to be having some leftovers, so we need to know how to store those safely.
Yes, absolutely. Especially if you're making a big batch of something. I am continuously surprised at how many people say, well, yeah, I just let it sit out on the counter until it's cool, and then I put it in the refrigerator. And my stock answer to that is, that's what your refrigerator is for. It is made to cool that food down quickly, to move it through that danger zone from hot to cold. Do not leave it sitting on the counter for any period of time. It has like a two-hour safety zone, and after that, it shouldn't be kept. So if you make, let's say, a big batch of chili, the way to go about doing that is to get it cooled down quickly. Don't put it in the same big container in the refrigerator, or leave it, even worse, on the stovetop until it's cool. Get it into something where it can cool down quickly. I like to put something, a big batch like that, in a cake pan so it has more surface area and it's going to cool down quickly so that it goes from that really hot temperature to cool really quickly. Same for things like sauces, thick foods that are going to take a while to cool down, stews, things you might make in the crock pot. You know that those need to get out of that crock pot, and they need to get into something where they can cool quickly. And that involves getting them spread out and then put in the refrigerator quickly so that they'll cool down to that safe level of 40 degrees or cooler.
And I think we want to make sure we eat that within 2 or 3 days then?
That's right. The leftover length, we usually say 3 days maximum on foods. And so be real careful. You know, that first in, first out, that definitely goes for what's in your refrigerator.
Well, as I mentioned, this is an opportunity to be prepared, to do some other things. And one of the things that you pointed out in our email exchange was make sure that you're also being a good citizen.
Well, I have to encourage people to think this through and use what we hope is common sense. And that is, don't purposely clear out a shelf in the grocery store of something that you are going to need maybe one of, or maybe two of. But if there's six there, don't purposely take all six and leave it completely empty for the next guy. I heard this morning on the news that the supply chain for grocery stores is still strong. There may be temporary outages, but it doesn't mean that the product is never going to be there again. So take those two that you need, leave the other ones there for the next guy. It's going to make your storage easier, and it really makes you a better global citizen. Take what you need, buy it, and use it, and plan well. Incorporate everything that you have into those menus, and really be smart about using all our resources now. I mean, this is a time where we really have a chance to sit back and sort of reflect on the resources that we have, that we need, and that we could do a better job with.
And Extension does have a number of publications online, so if people have questions, they can always do some Google searches and probably come up with all sorts of information.
That's a really good point. We have K-State Research and Extension publications, as well as nationwide. If you look up Extension Resource for, and then whatever it is, chances are you'll find a research-based, well-written, consumer-focused publication on just what you're looking for.
That's K-State Research and Extension Nutrition Specialist Sandy Proctor. For Extension publications on health and nutrition, visit bookstore.ksre.ksu.edu. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman, and this is the K-State Radio Network.